Don't worry, I'm not gonna hurt you.
Welcome, boys and girls. Welcome to Kinky and the Geek. Have a seat. We promise we won't hurt you too bad.
Liar.
I have no creativity. I can't come up with another fucking voice. Like, I've done everything that I wanted to do with the voices.
That's okay. Our male listeners are probably now masturbating furiously, so.
I don't know. Yeah, see, I've done phone sex, like, over and over and over again. It's like, you know, you can only do that so many times.
Yeah.
My one good voice I can do. It's phone sex.
It's all, you know.
Yeah.
If it works for you, go for it.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Keep doing it. I mean, we don't have to keep doing voices. I mean.
Okay, speaking of just totally recording halfway through a discussion.
Right.
So it's easy to just kind of pick up on random shit. I'm actually thinking about recording some short story, like some erotica that I've written. And recording it and also publishing it, you can actually publish stories through Barnes & Noble as an EPUB and then sell them through Barnes & Noble, and you get a percentage of it. So I'm thinking about writing up some of my short stories and coming up with some new ones and sending them out there as an EPUB through Barnes & Noble.
Oh,
and then doing a recording and like selling it as an audiobook.
Oh, that's cool.
So yeah, so I'm kind of jazzed about that. Welcome to Kinky and the Geek.
Yes.
Sorry.
We're slowly becoming Weekend Justice and we do our intros.
The random bullshit, you know, section of the beginning of the podcast.
Right.
So, yeah.
At least we're actually a lot better than some that were. We get that shit out of the way. So.
Well, we don't have 4-hour podcasts.
No.
So.
No, we don't.
I'm
waiting for Weekend Justice to hit the 4-hour mark at some point.
I thought they had.
No.
I thought they had one that was 4.
No, 3.
Okay.
3 has been their longest, a little over 3.
They do 3 actually quite a lot, it seems.
Now, yeah.
They do 4.
Yeah. So, okay.
Yeah.
How was your week?
I've been sick.
Oh, nice. So, this is your week to feel like shit.
Yeah. It's a head cold, and I think it moved a little bit into the chest, but it's kind of over it.
So, it's going to be Kinky and the Bitch. Well, though you're not really...
I'm not bitching,
bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm kind of mellow. I got nothing really to bitch at. I bitched a little bit at dinner.
You wanted to rant about.
Yeah, but...
You're over it?
I'm out. I got it. I bitched and got it out of my system.
Yeah, okay. Alrighty.
I don't really have any...
Yeah.
Anything
well, I know
really
you've
bitching.
Been watching a lot of shows because you've been on Get Glue.
I've been homesick.
Yeah.
I just joined Get Glue, and that's what I've been doing, is liking a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. And yesterday when I came home, I just started basically anything and everything I watched. I went ahead and checked in.
Well, yeah, it's funny because Phantom was like, what the hell is he doing? Like, every couple minutes there would be a new TV show. We're like, how much shit can you watch
well,
in one
day? Well, see, that's just it. I'm not watching it. A lot of this
stuff
is liking.
Watching. This was stuff that...
Well, stuff ends in an hour. It's like, I got home and found Sleeper on A&E. Not A&E. Turner Movies Classic.
Yeah, okay.
And got to a certain point, and I started flipping and found something else and started watching that. And that ended.
Reach for the phone. Yeah. Or you said you don't have the app yet.
No. This is all because I have my laptop. So I have my laptop in front of me while I watch TV.
Yeah. It is handy when you go for movies to go ahead and get the app. Like when you go out for movies.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. If I can fucking get into it, because that's the one thing. This will be my first. My app for the month or for the week.
Uh-huh.
I downloaded Get Glue to go with it, but my one drawback so far has been because it's one of those. Get Glue is one of those things where you can either sign up normally like you would, you know, password, username, or you can either sign up. You basically sign in either using Twitter or Facebook.
Right, right.
Well, I on the computer. And I use my Twitter, because if I'm going to announce all this stuff, I'm going to...
Do it on Twitter.
Do it through Twitter.
And you can still tie your Twitter account to it, even if you have, like, a password.
Right.
Like, if you set that up separately.
But then again, I did that. Plus, you could also do Facebook and Twitter, but my thing is if I'm doing... Because I have to do that with Foursquare.
Right.
Because my Foursquare goes in with both... That's why you end up with multiples.
Right.
Because my Twitter is tied into my Facebook.
Right, right.
But I would say... 90% of the time when I'm putting an update on Facebook, it's coming from my Twitter.
Right.
So, but the app won't let you sign in using Twitter. Because I have tried using it by using going through Facebook, but it won't let me sign in.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and I don't have a username password.
So. Yeah. And we've discovered that some of the bonuses of having the app is that it keeps a list of all the things that you have watched.
Right.
So, like, for Eureka, I don't have to do a search on Eureka. It's there in my list of recent things that I've checked into.
And,
so it's kind of nice for that.
Yeah, and I'm already at 16 stickers.
And I am right now checking in to Kinky and the Geek, which our friend, we're just going to call her A,
AR.
Yeah, put on to Get Blue.
Which is very nice.
Yes, so, yeah, and actually our friend DS said that he actually...
He did a little review on on there, yeah.
Exactly. So that was really nice of him. Thank you, DS. We love you.
Which is kind of interesting when you come across stuff and it's your friends.
Right.
Because I know J.J. Hawkins of Mars Needs has got one.
Mm-hmm.
Chuck vs. Mal has one for their show. Right. Instant Leftovers has one for their show. Cabin Fever has one for their show.
Yeah, and there really should be a separate podcast category.
You would think so, especially considering Get Glue seems to be tied in with a lot of the internet stuff to begin with.
Right.
And the people who are usually very savvy in the internet are usually very at least podcast aware.
Right.
Because I have found out you can say, hey, I've got a podcast to 10 people, and nine and a half of them are going to look at you funny.
Right, right, right. Yeah, I mean, I've had to explain, you know, several times what a podcast is.
Yeah.
But yeah, those who get it are fucking fanatics, so it's kind of weird. People who like podcasts love podcasts.
Yeah, that seems to be it's a nice little community, and we've actually, you know, have cultivated a nice little friendship community through the podcast, which is really interesting. Totally.
And, you know, honestly, you know, there are some of our fans that, you know, that came to, you know, us as, you know, hey, we like your podcast, that we're actually really good friends with. For example, DS.
So. Right. Well, he's more friends with you guys. I don't talk to him. Although he does Twitter stuff, but you guys have actually talked
to him. That's
because
I flirt with
him.
A boy like Mad, so, yeah. Yeah. And, okay, we're having our picture taken. Hello.
But, yeah, so I'm on Get Glue. I've been, finding it. It's kind of nice because there's been a couple of things. It's like, I forgot what it was, but it's like, is there something I could put on here with a fucking despise?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have the dislike, but I've come across some stuff that
loathe.
Are kind of,
Can't
How can you hate Killer Clowns from
Outer Space? I know, I saw that. I was like, Joe's going to take offense to that.
I did.
That's
his movie.
Bill on. That's what
that's
I was
what
saying.
It was.
Yeah, because I saw that too, and I was like, ooh, I wonder if Joe's going to notice. Yeah, because that's like one of his movies.
Yeah,
that's
right. It's just one of those. I've seen it once, and it was like...
Oh, see, I watched it like 5 times in high school. Like, I have fond memories of slumber parties, you know.
But at least it's one of those, I'm one of those people that will not hate something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I remember what it was now. Mm-hmm. It was Superman 4, A Quest for Peace that I wanted to go. Is there any way I could put fucking loathe on here?
I'll give you
that. Can I erase this from Get Glue so that nobody else
can
like
do
it?
Yeah. But yeah, finding stuff that, you know, putting in one thing and then finding like a whole bunch of other stuff.
Yeah.
You know, where
I like it for
put in 9-inch nails and you just find, you know, you can find all this other stuff. You know?
Yeah, I really do like it for the recommendations. It's just really good for that because I have, you can actually save things on there too. And that's been helpful for me as far as books because it's sometimes hard to find books in the same vein that you like.
Right.
But I've gotten some really good recommendations on books that I wouldn't have noticed otherwise, and I've saved them, so I can go back and be like, what was that I wanted to read? You know, and then I've got a list there.
Right.
So that's kind of cool.
What's interesting, and this is completely, but just finding stuff on random, but not on, this wasn't Get Glue.
Uh-huh.
We were watching Smallville, and we were catching up with Smallville,
mm-hmm.
and they did an episode with Isis.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, Lois ends up getting possessed by the spirit of Isis and becomes Isis.
Okay.
But you basically get the chick that plays Lois Lane running around in the short white toga, the Roman sandal heels. It's like she's already, you know, babe to begin with, with a great set of gams, but you know,
but rare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was telling Alicia they used to have the live action show. ISIS mm-hmm. used to be part of a two block they used to do. They had a, it was Shazam and the Mighty ISIS.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. They used to have a live action Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
And I went looking around. I went on Amazon looking for it. Because Alicia is a huge, she's huge into Egyptian stuff.
Okay, sweet.
In fact, I know one of her her minister used to come to her mm-hmm. at times if he needed to verify something mm-hmm. about Egypt.
Okay.
But
she should really talk to Din.
I think they have bonded over that
on Egypt. Yeah.
At conventions, they have bonded over Egyptian stuff and Gundam Wing.
Okay. Nice.
Or anime in general, but Gundam Wing. But I came across putting in that because, you know, of course, the other customers that have bought this.
Uh-huh.
I came across some of the Filmation live action stuff that's out on DVD.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Because as a kid, this was stuff I used to grow up because there used to be a whole bunch of really cool made for Saturday morning live action stuff. Okay. I found a three-pack of one that was Arc 2, Space Academy, and Jason of Star Command, which were all live-action...
Yeah, I don't remember any of those.
Science fiction things. And then I also came across the Funimation Real Ghostbusters.
Okay.
That was actually the two guys from F-Troop and a guy in a gorilla suit.
Okay.
And they actually had, that's why the cartoon of the mm-hmm. Ghostbusters movie had mm-hmm. to be called The Real Ghostbusters, because they did a cartoon version of this, too.
Uh-huh. So, okay.
But yeah, I went and found all that. They have all that on DVD.
Uh-huh.
Actually found, unfortunately, only on VHS, uh-huh. The Far Out Space Nuts,
uh-huh.
which was a Bob Denver show. It basically, it was... The concept was two guys who were basically loading up a space capsule with the food.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, breakfast, check, lunch. And he hits launch instead of lunch and launches them into space. So it's these two guys that aren't astronauts, of course, having wacky space adventures.
See, okay, that it makes me wonder, like, how many of those, if I saw them, I'd be like, okay, I vaguely remember.
And then, what was it, the last one I found was they actually had... The Lost Saucer,
uh-huh.
which was Jim Nabors and Ruth Buzzies as robots in a runaway space a spaceship.
Huh.
Basically getting in wacky space adventures. But that's all that.
Those wacky space adventures.
Well, yeah. Well, that was all part of the whole Sid and Marty Krofft stuff, which, you know, was H&R Puff and stuff,
and
Electro Woman and Dyna Girl and Dr. Shrinker and the Buggles and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But that was all that crazy 70s stuff.
Too, yeah. Right?
Well, I want to say the entire run of H.R. Puffin stuff is, at least.
Okay.
I don't know about, like, Dr. Shrinker. And I would love to find, just out of nostalgia, the Electro Woman and Dyna Girl, strictly because I had the hugest crush on Dyna Girl when I was growing up.
Yeah.
So.
Cool. You should look for it.
Yeah.
You should track it down. I mean, at the very least, you know, it's out there as a, you know, something that could be legally acquired,
right?
You know.
But that was all that stuff I grew up on watching. Is all that live? Because I mean, you know, of course, they have a lot of live action stuff now, but it seems to be more geared towards. It doesn't seem as fun as it used to be because they always have to have a message. You know, kids show now always have to have a message.
Right. They just can't be trashy.
Can't do fun. Yeah.
Fun. Yeah. I remember I always used to be really pissed off when any of the Krofft stuff was on because it was at the same time slot as Land of the Lost, and they would play, they would like alternate between what they showed, and if they weren't playing Land of the Lost, I wasn't interested.
Right.
So I would always be pissed off when they played H.R. Puff and stuff.
Used to be a block that would it would switch between, it was Dr. Shrinker, Electro Woman, and Dyna Girl. I would get pissed when the Buggles would come on.
Yeah.
And that was the one where they had the, although you look back on it, it was, who was it? Phyllis Diller as Witchy Poo.
Oh my God, okay, that I remember.
And it was like
Holy
an English,
shit.
They were basically English kids dressed as bees. They had a band.
I gotta go back and find that. Yeah. It's like, I know I would know it, you know, if I saw it.
And I'm sure looking back on it now, the stuff probably is probably so campy, but I still want it.
Oh, sure.
Especially some of the Funimation stuff, because I still have fond memories of that stuff.
See,
especially considering the Ghostbusters is basically two guys and a gorilla running around busting ghosts.
See, I know you're not into smoking or getting high or anything, but that's when that would be really fun. You know, just sit back.
Well, considering
and get really
I have a feeling most of that, if H.R. Puffin stuff was not created while someone was stoned, someone's got some deep seated psychological
stuff. Yeah, a lot of stuff from the '70s was just like, wow, how much did you smoke, really? But that's what made it
awesome. Or how much blotter paper did you go through in your lifetime?
Exactly. Yeah, that's what made
and
it
I'm
so
just
good.
Talking, that's just H.R. Puffin stuff. Just that show alone, considering large talking dragon, a talking flute.
Right.
Whatever those fucking cops were.
I don't know. Were they high? Maybe. Yeah. Yeah, that's funny. God, okay, now I have like a total idea for a stoner party. I gotta track all that down.
Oh, but yeah, well, it's just all that really great campy stuff that was back in the
70s. Right. There was some really weird shit.
Sigmund and the Sea Monster.
Okay, you know what I remember? And nobody ever knows what I'm talking about. Do you remember there were, I don't remember if it was a part of Sesame Street or like 321 Contact, but it was one of those shows where they had these performers. And in one, they are in a suit, kind of like a slinky, where they would do kind of flips and do all kinds of tumbling, and it was like this, like a worm-like thing.
Mum and Chant. Wasn't that it?
Was it? I don't know. I can't remember the name. But in another one, there were these people in these black suits, and they had two notepads
That's
where the Mum eyes
and Chant.
Were. And oh, God, I've got to find all that shit.
Yeah, because they used to do Shields and Yarnell, which were a famous mime couple.
Okay.
They used to have a show, and Mum and Chant was on there all the time. They also had the... Yeah, because they had their like facial expressions were written down on like sticky notes, and they'd take them off.
Yeah.
They also had one where they had like...
Do you?
They had like toilet paper or something that they would...
Right, they would roll. And I remember being terrified and yet
fascinated
as a kid. I was like, that shit's weird.
And that's another thing that you won't find nowadays because, I mean, that was such a 70s thing.
Interpretive dance, kind of,
Well, a variety show in general seems to have gone away. I would love to see something like that try to come back, at least, and get rid of,
I mean, the closest thing, I guess, would be, like, American Idol or stuff like that.
Well, no, I'm talking about...
little bits of performances.
No, but I'm talking about an actual, like, variety show, like a Sonny and Cher or... Or Donnie and Marie. I used to love the Donnie and Marie show as a kid. Especially when...
Who was the country singer? The blonde?
Barbara Mandrell and her sisters.
Like
my God, and her sisters were hot. That's another one of those. Pervert. I remember trying to get under the TV during watching... what was it? Donnie Marie trying to look up Tina Turner's skirt.
Yeah,
because I was trying to get a better angle so I could see up because she was in that that flapper dress she wore whenever she would do whenever she did a TV performance doing the big wheel keep on turning.
Right, but
trying to position myself watching trying to see if I can't see up Tina Turner's skirt.
Nice.
Yeah, I like I said, I'm a natural born pervert. I mean, that's...
And speaking of kinky things, we had two things that we wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
You've kind of hinted about this weekend that you're having.
I have found someone who... Because we've talked about how I've wanted to find someone, because... Mm-hmm. And I wrote about this on the Kinky the Geek blog.
Mm-hmm.
That I want to basically play with someone to find out whether or not, because when I play with Alicia, I get turned on, because when I play with Alicia, I get...
And you know that you're getting laid.
Laid. So, I found someone who's willing to let me experiment, I guess is the best way to say it. So we're
see whether it's the DS that excites me,
or if it's just the fact that I know with... my girlfriend, there's sex involved.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah, so I'm kind of excited. I want to hear how the experience.
Yeah, I will. I'll talk about it. I'm gonna have to be very vague on who it is, but yeah. I have no problem talking about.
And the you actual, said Violet Wand.
Yes, it's Violet Wand, Violet because Wand this is what the person wants to do.
Yeah, well, kick ass, because I'm really excited to hear how that goes for you, because that is something I'm always like really curious about. That, and I've got a topic for a Geekless Kink too. That Phantom and DS and I are gonna have to sit down and plan something out, but. Okay. There are just so many questions about, you know, the psychology of it all, and that's what really gets me about BDSM, is there are so many psychological, and just the range of sexuality as well, which we would be talking about bisexuality, for example, and I'm just really curious to see where different people are coming from. So I'm curious to see, you know, whether it is the SM play that gets you off, or, because it doesn't, you know, I get off on it.
Right.
It's not the same.
Right.
You know, it's better when you have a partner that you're going to have sex with and that you're very intimate with, but I like doing it for its own sake, too.
And from what it sounds like, that if it does excite me, we will be able to, I will be able to finish.
Oh, nice.
What I started, basically.
Nice.
Yeah.
Congratulations,
so,
yeah.
So there is that being able to.
It's hard finding a partner when you've already got a primary.
Right. Well. Yeah. I have found that out, that it's tough, especially when I find someone that I'm attracted to.
Right.
But knowing that they're not of the poly way.
Oh, right.
That's been the biggest thing, is finding someone who is open to joining a poly relationship to begin with.
Right.
Getting a crush on someone who's already in a closed poly relationship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's all good. The different variations. Yeah.
So it's just it's kind of tough, especially, you know, when you don't get out nearly as much as we do, and when I try to put myself out there, especially when I'm doing the whole going to like a Frolicon or some places that's open to that.
Right.
Nothing coming to fruition, even though you're putting yourself out there, and you know.
Right. It seems like for Frolicon, you would need to have met someone on FetLife that you've talked about it and everything, and for that to work out. But then again, if you could do that for Frolicon, why wouldn't you be able to do that?
Right.
For, you know,
and I did that, and I did try to do something like that, but the shyness kicked in, and also the person I was trying to set up, it was her first Frolicon, and she ended up becoming basically the belle of the ball and was
so
all
she
over
wanted
the place.
To, yeah.
No. It was just a case of where we couldn't
connect.
Solidify anything, and. She ended up winning the first annual Miss Frolicon contest and became
very cool.
So nothing has been able to become of that. So something that kind of fell through.
Yeah.
So
Well, you know, and we had you know, our message on the 50th from DS, and I don't know why I'm talking about him so much as this
because you do.
Well, no, I am, because one of the things I wanted to talk about was not furry fandom, but the furry, it's not a lifestyle, furry, the furry world.
Furry culture.
Yeah, good one. I totally fucking forgot where I was going with that. Going to a furry convention.
Right.
Which, you know, and I was talking to Phantom, actually, as we were driving back from dinner, and it's kind of occurred to me that I'm starting to, like, really get it.
Right.
And while I may not show up in a full fursuit anywhere, I'm starting to really get it. I actually, for my NaNoWriMo, wrote a full-on anthro sex scene. With, strangely, a bear and a wolf. which is kind of a theme.
Gee, I wonder why.
I know. I don't know where that came from. But yeah, we've actually been talking a little bit about it. And I get the fursuit. I get the idea of the tactility. I wouldn't wear one because I see it and I think, wow, that's fucking hot.
Yeah. That's like when you see some of these people, like the guys running around in stormtrooper armor in the middle of August
in
Atlanta.
Really
yeah.
kick ass, but you will not see my ass in one. Yeah.
Well, there was a dude that did at Dragon Con that basically his costume was a parrot with a pirate on his shoulder. And he was showing me where he had to put a fan in the head because there's just no way you could do, because I think most of his suit was foam.
Yeah.
So I can see that unless.
Yeah. Well, that's something that we were talking about, like, you know, the furry community being kind of on the outside. And I've actually had one of my kinky friends say, okay, well, if you turn into a furry, I just don't want to talk about
right.
it. You know, and I was like, really? Because it's just, it's a more involved form of cosplay.
Right.
You know, and this is the same person who would love the hell out of me if I dressed up as Wonder Woman.
Right.
But furry's like too weird. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and well, everybody has their limits.
Yeah.
And it is... Like, I've always had that thing where if you're on one side of the line of someone, mm-hmm. you're a slut. On the other side, you're a prude.
Right.
You know, unless right. you're right in the middle. A lot of people have that thing to where...
Well, I just,
or
you know,
have that line that they don't want
to
cross.
Yeah.
Or,
well, I mean, we were just trying to... You know, we were talking about, you know, it's Yeah, it's like furries are even on the outskirts of a lot of kink circles and on the outskirts of a lot of geek circles, even though they
right.
really exemplify both. You know?
I think it also has a lot to do with the fact that the furry community has gotten a really bad rep.
Right, and I don't quite understand.
It really doesn't take. I mean, you think yeah. about it; it really doesn't take much.
Yeah, I mean, to be talked about. And,
yeah.
Yeah, someone always has to be other.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah, there's always an other. I mean, yeah. in my case, I know it's like, because I was just thinking about this, looking at from the outside, looking at the leather community.
Right.
And I don't see it in a bad way, like mm-hmm. people look at furries, but I do right. look at it going, that may be a little too deep for me.
See,
not
yeah.
in a bad way, just mm-hmm. saying, it's not where I want to go.
I don't need
see,
it.
I've,
yeah.
I've always been fascinated by the leather community, and what I like about it is that there's a strong sense of responsibility, of family, and
yeah.
of mentorship.
Yeah, there's a very, very, like, pardon the word, but there's a lot of bonding when it
yeah.
comes to the leather community, which
well,
is
yeah.
very
and
interesting.
It, and it is community building and just, like, the mentorship, seriously.
Right.
Like, being taught and brought up. You know what I mean? I think that's fucking
right.
fabulous. But it's so hard to find any information on how you would get involved unless you meet somebody in love.
Right, and
so they're so secretive that it's really hard to understand. There's not a book on leather. Well, I mean,
right.
there may be, but they're not easy to find.
Right,
you know
right.
what I mean?
And I think that has to do a lot with the way the furry community is.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they've had so much crap. It
yeah.
is a hard community to crack.
Yeah.
I mean, I do have a friend who is in the furry community,
mm-hmm.
And I can tell you right now, the ones that she knew were extremely up in arms when it came mm-hmm. to that CSI
right.
episode they did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they did a thing where it involved the furry convention.
Uh-huh.
And they were a furry. Someone died at a furry convention.
Uh-huh.
They were just up in arms
uh-huh.
at the way it was
portrayed,
which is uh-huh. really interesting because they have had episodes
with
using
BDSM. I know
with BDSM because
yeah.
of Lady. I can't remember her name, but the hot redhead that
uh-huh.
that was also on Firefly.
Yeah.
Lady something, I can't remember what her name is. Mm-hmm. Lady Heather, who's actually
okay.
been somewhat of a slight love interest with the Grisham character.
Okay.
But yeah, they've been I don't want to say positive,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't shown in the, oh my God, this is not, I mean, it was to a point, but
mm-hmm.
not in the same way that the way it was in, with
mm-hmm.
the way the furries did. I mean, they've
yeah.
even had an episode on adult babies.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and see, like, that's something... Okay, that's something I will be absolutely honest, I don't get.
Right.
Like, the mommy little boy thing, fucking love it. Daddy
right.
little girl, I like it as long as I get to be daddy.
Right.
Adult baby, not so much. I don't want anyone in diapers or... You know,
because
maybe,
I think it pushes past a comfort
yeah.
level, and I think that's
yeah.
way people look at.
But I don't
the
see
furry
it as
community.
Me. You know
right.
what I mean? But it's not my thing. But
right.
I
don't know what it is. Maybe it's
yeah.
because it is so out there, and people
mm-hmm.
also think furry and kind of have like furry and bestiality
yeah, it
together,
crosses that
and I think
line.
It crosses that
like
line.
Like adult
and I think,
baby, maybe in pedophilia.
Yeah, pedophilia.
Yeah.
But then again, some people feel
it's
that way when
so
it comes
close
to little,
to
which is funny because adult baby and
a serious type of baby.
Would think pedophilia, but you don't get the same thing with little girl,
daddy
little girl,
yeah.
or,
mommy
little
boy.
Boy
freaks a lot more people out than daddy little girl.
I think that's less fetishy
mm-hmm.
or has become a less fetishy because you see that one
yeah.
more in straight porn.
Right.
Where you have the schoolgirl, older man right. thing going on.
Right.
Where, because, I mean, you're still seeing cougar. Cougar is kind of still, people kind of turn their nose up at the right. idea of a cougar.
Right.
But the whole idea of an older man with a younger
universal.
Woman.
Right. Yeah, yeah. The guys have always wanted a younger woman. I mean, that's right. kind of universal. Younger is
But then again, that's also,
attractive.
But that's also more, what's the word I'm looking for?
Misogynistic?
No, not misogynistic. It's more,
acceptable or
not acceptable, but it's more of a deep-seated kind of primal thing where the man wants to get with a younger woman because she's more fertile
and
than
more,
the
more likely to,
yeah more yeah. it may be and I think that has a tendency to and not saying that it's right
well, but
I
then
want,
again you know the young you know in the communities where it's mostly women and there's one ruling male. The young male comes in and fights with the older male, defeats
right.
the older male, and they all get a younger mate.
Right.
So,
but I'm just saying that seems to be especially because a lot of people think that's why men tend to stray is because there is that kind of primal.
Yeah.
We
urge
all have that urge to spread your seed.
Yeah.
Part of my theory of why pedophilia is. Is still so rampant, or you know, we hear about it more too.
Right.
It also could be the since back in the day, you go back 100 years, marrying a 13-year-old wouldn't really
not,
be that
yeah,
because you
shocking.
Didn't live. Yeah, it was not shocking because
people lived to 40.
Right.
Yeah.
Or you needed to start birthing them babies so you could have more hands working the farm
right.
or clearing the the frontier.
Right.
So it may be something that some people just haven't been able to evolve out of.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or, because there's cultural there's cultural evolving along with, physical evolving.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just.
Yeah.
I think that's why it takes so long to get some things kind of out of people's heads and ways of thinking.
Well, it's kind of like, the whole theory that as a community or a closed, ecosystem or something becomes overpopulated, homosexuality becomes more prevalent.
Right.
Because it's like something switches in the genes that make, or something that makes... homosexual traits come out more.
Right.
Which I think is
to kind of put a halt on procreation to
yeah.
a certain point because you've reached a certain point that you can't.
And that's all theoretical, though. I read an article about that.
But they've also had that thing, and you hear it, and it's more prevalent in Jurassic Park, but there are where some species have been known to switch genders when a certain.
Actually, you know what? Somebody tweeted an article about a lizard. That was found in Vietnam, I want to say, in this one river. Maybe it was the Yellow River in China. Anyways, okay, so this one river where they found these lizards, and it was this previously unknown species, and they were serving them at restaurants.
I've heard about that,
and they're all female. Not only are they all female, they're fucking clones of each other.
Huh.
And it's because of pollution and the rough conditions in the river that somehow they have found a way to replicate themselves via cloning.
Huh.
And they all look exactly the same, and they're all girls, and they were just eating them. The locals were just dining on these
wild
lizards.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was trippy. As far as the furry community, like, because I'm delving.
Yeah.
Seriously, and I have to say, I think that if you talk to 10 women, and kinky women, or, sexually open women, and you ask them if they've ever had a fantasy, some sort of anthro fantasy.
Right.
About, say, like a werewolf, for example. And if 8 of them say they've never fantasized, 4 of them are lying. You know what I mean? So that was kind of a fun scene to write, especially with authors like Laurel K. Hamilton
and Stephanie
else?
Myers.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you do start seeing that more, and I wonder if part of that is where the vampire stuff comes from too, along with it.
Yeah. Well, it's yeah.
It's just like one step away.
Yeah, exactly.
Just another mythic figure.
Exactly.
And cowboys and pirates. And
yeah, and you know, that's the thing that we are trying to figure out. Like, what makes it different wanting to have sex with, not an animal, not bestiality, but,
right.
you know, someone in a fur suit versus someone dressed as a pirate? Where is that distinction? You know what I mean?
I want to say, for some people, it may be the whole bestiality.
The whole idea?
Yeah, the whole idea that it's one step closer to bestiality, not saying that it is.
We should totally have DS here talk, because he would have a lot to say.
But, you know... You know, we're definitely trying to talk. We're just trying to talk about this, and I may not be into it, but I'm not going to put down the people are into it, because I've had friends who I have a friend who is.
Yeah, well, and like I said, like I don't see myself in a fur full suit. However, right. I really want a pair of those goat pants,
right?
With the hooves and the horns.
You just want to recreate the movie version of Friday.
Movie version of Friday.
Of Dragnet.
No. No, I just love the idea of fawns, because they're, you know, like Pan, you know, they're into wild sexuality and nature, and that's kind of my thing.
So. No, there's a part in Dragnet where they're checking something out, and they've had to infiltrate a satanic.
I vaguely remember something about that.
Have Dan Aykroyd and Tom Hanks running around in what look like furry chaps.
Oh, nice.
They're goat pants.
See, I want something like that. I mean, I would be like.
They don't have the hooves, but they basically look like they're wearing fur chaps.
Yeah, that's kind of
That's actually a movie I've not seen in a while.
And there are so many,
and it's funny too. Yeah. That's the thing is.
Well, there are so many stages too. Like, there's, you know, the fursuiting, which while I wouldn't necessarily go full fursuit, I want like fuck to grope someone in one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wanted to get all the rubbing and the nuzzling and all that. And
what was it?
Well, and there's a lot more to it. There's like anthro. You know, a lot of people just write stories. You know, they don't necessarily.
Yeah. Well, there's been some anime stuff and stuff that has been. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's like a lot more to it than just wearing a fursuit.
Right.
There's a lot of really cool art and it's. There's a very rich fantasy role play community built around it.
There was an artist at Dragon Con the year I went with friends who were starting up their own comic. And he was a famous dude, but who did that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember two of the guys who happened to be a gay couple. They were it was a comic they were calling Dan the Dangerous Dildo.
Okay.
And they
that
were
sounds vaguely familiar, actually. I don't know.
They were kind of well. This was 92, 93. This was privately. You know, they did this themselves. They, you know, the Kinko's the night before are printing out a crap load of these things to try to sell.
Yeah, I may have one actually from when being in Dragon Con the beginning.
But they were pissed because the guy doing the furry porn was. More people were more interested in what he was doing than their thing about Dan the Dangerous Dildo.
Mm-hmm.
And both me and Lex were both like, well, if it was a little better written, it might actually.
Yeah.
But it's basically about a sex toy that comes to life.
Nice. Yeah, I've got this picture that, you know, I can draw. I don't do it all that often anymore because, you know, I kind of got angry at art after going to graphic design school. But, I have this picture that I so desperately want to draw out and probably illustrate on an Illustrator of kind of me as a fawn with a bear on a chain, on a leash. That will happen someday. So, yeah. But yeah, so I'm really getting into that.
Yes, but he must be drawn in the bear. Actually, it should be a drawing of him in the bear suit for Frontierville.
No.
That would be adorable. Yeah. Do that.
No, he would be like a big, mean-looking bear. Even though he's really just kind of a teddy bear.
Yeah, that's why it should be the bear costume from Frontierville.
No, I would draw him. Actually, yeah, and DS actually sent me a picture of a mean kind of bear with a huge heart on that I love. It's now my desktop wallpaper. I tell you what, can we stop for a sec? Okay, sorry, we're back. I had to go be Princess Pee-Pee,
leftover from the cyst. And I'm,
honestly,
thinking about it, not really surprising considering what a cyst is.
It's just like the infection gets everywhere, so. Yeah.
You got to get rid of it somehow.
It's got real personal.
Yeah,
it's got real personal.
Well, you talked about it last time, so.
Yeah, but I've got a nice bladder infection left over from all the.
Again, you would think that would be a normal side. You would think that would be a normal side effect, just considering.
Well, it's just everything gets infected. Well, yeah. Everything from like my belly button down was like,
But yeah, okay. I mean, it's you just think about it. How do you normally would get rid of that kind of stuff? I mean, it filters through your body, and your bladder, especially female bladders, are really susceptible to.
Bladder infections
in general. Yeah, which is really weird because you would think that would be more of a universal thing, but for some reason it's more women get it than men.
I don't know. Maybe because the urethra is so internal for us, like there's more chance for getting an infection through there, but that wouldn't explain
that. Yeah, that really wouldn't explain it either.
I've been on cranberry juice for the last week and a half, so.
Although, honestly, from what I've been told, cranberry juice, yes, works as a painkiller, but as flushing and still killing the infection, it really isn't a helpful thing.
Well, it's got just straight water. Antioxidants.
I think it has to do with a lot, you know, but a lot of water can do the same thing. You're flushing the system, but cranberry juice does help kind of dull the pain too.
Well, whatever. It's totally.
Well, I mean, that's what you've been told, you know. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's also. I want to say it's also a natural diuretic anyway.
Yeah. Well, I think that's it. Maybe the diuretic helps you flush more of it than just maybe water alone. I don't know.
Maybe not water alone, but I think because of the pain killing prospects, it helps too.
Well, I know.
But you would to cure it, you would have to be drinking gallons at a time. Where you just same thing with water.
Well, I know that dark juices like cherry juice or dark grape juice have some of the same properties, but cranberry is supposed to have more. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But also, cranberry juice is tasty than just plain water.
Yeah, it is. So. Yeah, it's delicious.
That's usually if I'm going to a strip club, that's my drink of choice for some strange reason. Cranberry juice.
Interesting. There's some psychology there.
I think it has a lot to do because it looks like I'm drinking an actual drink and not just drinking cranberry juice.
Okay.
I don't know why.
It looks like you're drinking a Cosmo, which is so different.
It's a virgin Cosmo.
Right, nice.
I don't know what it is. It has been my go if I'm not, because I have found the more I drink, the more the more liberal I get with my money.
Yeah.
And I just spent
$400.
I tend not to drink when I go to a strip club. If I do, I may get a beer.
Yeah. Yeah, good call. Yeah, that's pretty smart, actually. I think a lot of people could learn from that.
That, and you usually go later at night and watch other people's lap dances.
Yeah.
Nice. I've gone to strip clubs on the cheap.
Yeah. See, that's the way I'd have to do it, because like, the idea of just going and spending a bunch of cash on something like that is just a little bit beyond me.
Yeah, that's why we don't do it all that often. Yeah. That's why it's more of a special occasion type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or taking someone who's never been, usually.
Yeah.
Because Kiara had never been.
Mm-hmm.
Because in Seattle, it's against the law for single women to go to strip clubs.
Really?
Especially by themselves.
That kind of makes sense.
They were having problem with prostitution.
Yeah. Okay.
And so they just banned everybody.
Oh, I would have thought it would have been harassment, but I guess
it makes sense. No. It was prostitution. Basically, prostitutes going and picking up the horny men. So.
Right. Rich field for, you know.
You would think so, yeah.
Right for the picking.
That's why, that's one of those things where my libertarian side comes along and says maybe that shit should be, you know, legal.
Yeah.
Basically follow the
safety and go get checked.
Yeah, because actually it was a conversation we had at work talking about brothels and
safety.
I think it came from the fact that I think Vivid and a couple other of the major porn houses had to shut down because they had a couple of their performers came up positive for AIDS.
Oh, that's right. I heard about that.
And
I was shocked that it was such a big deal because I was like, surely this comes up.
I don't think that's just the thing. That's why it is a big deal, because it is. I know the porn community and the gay community were the two communities that really got involved with AIDS prevention and education.
Yeah.
In fact, Nina Hartley.
A lot of porns, though, are still sans condom.
Yeah, but they
so
also.
I was surprised that they really didn't.
They're also, especially the bigger companies, are very. Adamant about who performs and the testing and stuff like that.
But I mean, it takes, you know, a couple months for it to show up.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying, some of them do use condoms, because I know Nina Hartley was one of the forebearers of showing that, yes, you can make these porn just as sexy with a condom.
I'm just as happy watching porn with condoms.
Yeah.
Bareback, I understand the aesthetic.
The money shot's never been a real big, because nowadays it's gotten so graphic and kind of over the top with it.
And this is getting kind of personal, but Phantom and I are fluid bonded.
Right.
Because I've been tested. He wasn't having the crazy experience like I was, but
right.
I've been tested. So, and, you know, I've had a hysterectomy, I don't have to worry about getting pregnant.
Right.
But the idea is if we have sex with others, there will be condoms.
You know what I mean?
You've really got to be aware of that. And the reason I don't know if I've ever mentioned this on the show, but my first sub boy, he was actually the first person I dated after getting out of my marriage, really. He, halfway through, found out he was HIV positive.
Right.
Fortunately, we had used condoms, and that's why I was tested and then tested again.
You've told me about that, but I don't know if you've said it.
Yeah, and that, fucking most terrifying 3 months
of
my life.
I can imagine.
I mean,
doesn't
really...
matter what you've been doing.
Yeah.
You could be a virgin, and that test is the scariest thing.
It is. Knowing that you've been with somebody, I didn't have sex with anyone because I was like, I just feel like it would be irresponsible to, and that was 3 months, like when I had just gotten out of my marriage.
Right.
And I really wanted to have sex. So I was doing all kinds of like DS play, but I wasn't having sex with anyone.
Right.
Because I just felt like it would be really irresponsible not knowing.
Yeah.
So I waited my 3 months and then I went and got tested a little bit later, so.
Well, I do know of at least one person in our local community who one time without a condom and he mm-hmm. ended up, he's HIV positive.
Yeah, and I know there's someone I've been told, and yeah, it goes into personal, privacy and everything,
right.
But I know there's someone in the community who plays who has herpes, who is very open and honest about it.
Well, yeah.
But still, it's like I shouldn't have been told by somebody else.
I had one of the girls that I've had have messed around with mm-hmm. was very open about it, and knowing enough because I get cold sores, which is a form
of
herpes,
right?
That I'm aware of mm-hmm. what goes on, and I know that sans outbreak,
right?
You may still have a chance of getting it, but it is a lot less. Yeah, it's a lot less likely to do it as long as there's no open sores.
When I found out that giving a man oral sex, there have been like 3 recorded cases of HIV transmission through oral sex, and it was when somebody had an open bleeding sore in their mouth. So you're pretty safe giving head as far as HIV goes, not as far as some other things.
Because I know there was, they were talking about this because there was, after the whole Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky thing, mm-hmm. Because of his attitude, you had the President of the United States
mm-hmm.
who basically came out and said, well, oral sex isn't sex,
mm-hmm.
that there was an uprise in teen oral sex,
mm-hmm.
and there was actually because they were, you have these kids who are ignorant and they think, mm-hmm. oh, well, it's oral sex. It's not real sex. There was actually an increase of oral gonorrhea that started coming up. Because that was actually, that's one thing I've actually heard Dr. Phil basically, because they had one of these Oprah shows with him before he got his own show talking about that. And this was actually coming out from the kid's mouth.
Uh-huh.
That the president says it's not sex, so it's not sex. And Dr. Phil basically, well, the president's a moron, basically.
Speaking of, this is just going to take it off in some separate direction.
Okay.
We've been reading Phantom One, or was gifted or had it thrown at him, the book by John Hodgman.
More Information Than You Require.
More Information Than You Require.
Right.
Which is the second of his books, the first one being The Areas of My
Expertise. Yeah.
So we started reading this book. Fucking hilarious.
Right.
Absolutely fucking hilarious.
But that was the one that had all the talking about the president.
Mm. Exactly. And that was, Bill Clinton's was, First of all, he shortens all the names.
Yes.
All the French names.
Which, to some really bizarre.
I don't know why. Yeah. And adds in apostrophes, and I'm not sure where that comes from.
Being goofy.
I know. Oh, God. They're so fucking funny. But it was like, a lot of people don't know this about Bill Clinton, but he was a fan of blowjobs. And spent a lot of his time as a president in search of said blowjobs.
And a lot of his friends did not understand
rare
his hobby.
Rare amongst men. Rare amongst men. The funniest one, though, the one that like just had me almost peeing, was George Bush Sr., where he said... he went to Japan where he was served a Japanese delicacy called broccoli. Which he handled the only way he knew how, being Texan born and raised or something. He vomited all over himself and all over the Japanese prime minister. I think it's prime minister. which I was fucking dying reading some of those.
It just kind of hit me. It just sounds a lot like... It sounds like something... It's... the old Buck Rogers of the 24th century, where they weren't sure what a lot of this stuff was because, you know, after the atomic war, you know, a lot of civilization got wiped out. So as they're rebuilding, there's a lot of history they don't know. And this is what it kind of sounds like almost, is like someone who's from the future, who's got... who basically has this hodgepodge of knowledge, but doesn't know where it goes.
Doesn't quite know how it fits together. Well, the one we read today, which was from the areas of my expertise, was the entry. He's got entries on each of the states, and it was on Georgia. And it was saying something about Georgia being the birthplace of Martin Luther King, which the benefits from that or the positivity generated from that can't ever rule out the negativity generated by it also being the birthplace of Stalin. They're talking about how they have thousands of clones of Martin Luther King in the basement of Georgia State University. And, God, it's just fucking funny. He just comes up with random shit. So I ended up buying the second book, and I'm going to go back and buy the first book for my stepdad for his birthday.
Well, Alicia got one of the books at Dragon Con because they were giving those away, and I have to pick that up and read it. There is a book out. There's actually a biography out that I really want, and that is they have finally released Mark Twain's biography.
Oh, no shit.
Have you not heard about this?
No.
It seems that before Mark Twain died, he had written, I don't want to say it's an autobiography, but he dictated to someone about his, but because of some of the stuff he said in it, and he did not want
like
the
his
backlash.
Family shut down, or?
He basically didn't want backlash from his on his family and relatives. He basically stipulated that it could not be released until 100 years after he had died.
Okay.
And the first volume of 6 has been released.
Damn.
Yeah.
You know whose biography I would like to read? Is Walt Whitman.
Yeah.
Huge homo. I would just want to read about, you know, what was it? And actually, that may have been part of Hodgman. We were there talking about we could all take a page from his book and go out and fall in love with teenage boys or something like that.
Jesus.
It was something about I Sing the Body Electric going out. Yeah, it was hilarious.
Right. But so. just the sheer fact of knowing, you know, what we know about Twain to begin with and the fact that he had... I mean, just the ballsy move that now 100 years after he's... died. And this will be the third podcast that I know of that has talked about Mark Twain's biography.
It seems like he's kind of resurfacing in the consciousness.
Yeah, well, I don't think
he was in that River World. He was a character in River World.
That's just it. Really I don't think Twain is... He's an author I don't think has ever left everyone's consciousness.
You're right. Because I can... Remember, didn't they release, didn't Disney do a Huckleberry Finn in like the 80s?
Well, that, and I mean, how many different banned books lists is Huckleberry Finn on there? Because of the use of the N-word?
Yeah.
even though that was what they, you know, that was the speech of the time.
Well, I'm trying to think of him coming into style.
That's just it. I don't think he's ever left style. I think he's like Poe. Poe's never really left the consciousness. He's just, there are just certain people, like Lovecraft is someone that wrote just as well as Poe, just as well as Twain, but is not nearly as known to the public.
You're seeing a hell of a lot more Cthulhu's now.
He's
surfaced a little bit.
They talked about this on Night of the Living podcast at one when they were doing some of the Cthulhu stuff. Mm-hmm. They did a Cthulhu month, or they did a Lovecraft month.
Okay.
And they were talking about how actually a lot of the Cthulhu mythos that we know is not as much from Lovecraft, but from the people who have taken
written
from him.
Like fanfic
and moved,
almost.
Yeah, almost, yeah.
Yeah.
Basically taking the mythos
Cthulhu,
he started.
He shows up for, what, 3 pages?
Yeah. Right.
And that's it. That's all
I mean,
yeah,
but that's just it. They basically have taken the Cthulhu mythos that, that Lovecraft kind of put the foundation, a very small foundation on, and have built what we know now of.
Somehow become like the Wolverine of...
Exactly.
Just
yeah. Exactly.
Character that for some reason everybody loves.
Yeah.
Right.
But he wasn't a huge character.
Well, like, and we've both been reading a lot of Lovecraft, and there is so much more to it. I just read, I think my favorite Lovecraft story so far is one called The Silver Key.
Okay. I lost my Lovecraft book. I haven't been. I was in the middle.
See, I've got
him
on the Nook. I downloaded.
Yeah,
him on the
I've
Nook.
Got my book somewhere that I bought that big. Thick thing of it, and I was in the middle of the Mountains of Madness.
I actually downloaded 4 volumes.
Leather brown one?
No. This one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this has Cthulhu on the front of it, but it's not a leather one. It's a.
I mean, it's fake.
No, it's not even a fake leather one. Okay. It's a one of those big ass paperbacks.
What did I actually find? Because I read another story that was really good about a sea monster. Well, not sea monsters. There's this cabin at the top of this hugely tall cliff, and this takes place in Arkham, next to the Miskatonic, where there's kind of a mythical man who is connected somehow with the sea and all the wild creatures and the that come in the fog every night and everything, and then so he's this. Everybody leaves this house alone because they don't know what it is. They just see it's way up there, no sign of how anyone could get in or out or anything. The door opens on the cliff, and there's no ledge there where you can walk to the door.
Right.
And this is how Poseidon and another ocean god comes to visit the man. Fucking awesome. I mean, there are so many other really good Lovecraft things.
Actually, my favorite out of all of them, and I think this was the first one I actually heard back last year's 31 Days of Halloween, was The Music of Eric Zahn. And
even
after reading
it,
and still after reading it again. And also, you should find, and it should still be up, the Night of the Living podcast actually created a radio play format of Pickman's model.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that was actually really good. And that was something they created themselves.
Huh.
And that was also, I think that's the last thing that Widget read in the 31 Days of Halloween.
Well, this one, let me actually find this one story because it was awesome. But The Silver Key is also really good. It's about someone who has all these fantasies and everything and then kind of tones them down because everyone says, no, you should be more interested in science and everything. And he always has that kind of, you know, niggling thing in the back of his head saying, no, you had these huge fantasy worlds when you were a kid.
See what else. This is Dunwich Horror is pretty good.
Still haven't read that. See, I've just read stories out of this. I think it's volume 2 that I started on. I downloaded the 4 volumes.
Yeah, but I've read, what is it? There's one about a guy who goes to, it's basically he has an ancestral home that has been burnt down several times. Mm-hmm. And at one point they had like this rat swarm that came over and basically devoured the country. Rats in the Walls, that's a good one.
Yeah, I read that.
Okay.
The Unwanted, I think is that the one where the guy is trying to climb out of he's like trying to climb out of he's in this like primal medieval castle that there's no light, and he finally crawls to the top of this parapet and comes out into the light and comes across another or moonlit, basically. And there's a castle he comes across, and he goes in, and the crowd just goes completely butt nuts. Because there's some monster.
Huh.
You have to read the story. It's one of those twisty things that after you read, once it hits the end, it kind of hits you. I don't think Twain has ever really left the consciousness, mm-hmm. Much like Poe.
I mean, sometimes there are cycles of popularity. I mean, you know, Poe's really popular right now as far as like the gothic.
Right. But tell me a time that people didn't really know who Poe was.
Yeah.
Same with, and Twain's kind of the same. But I think part of that is maybe not as much about his writing, but at least about his, Mark Twain showed up in a two-part episode of Star Trek Next Generation.
Oh, no shit.
As a character, okay. Yeah. There was also the Hal Hobray. Used to have that one-man play he used to do of Twain.
Okay. Well, see, and I'm just thinking of Twain as far as Riverworld, and it's like, that's an interesting character to introduce.
And that's just it. I think that's one of the things, is Twain has always been along from his writing,
mm-hmm.
He's got kind of a larger than life
kind of a mythos
around him, being him, you know.
Okay, this one, and I'm recommending this story because it's fucking awesome. It's beautiful. The Silver Key is my favorite that I've read so far. But this one is The Strange High House in the Mist.
Okay.
From 1926, and it's in the second volume of Lovecraft's fiction.
Yeah, I had to find that book, see what else is on, because like I said, I was only in about halfway through in the Mountains of Madness, and I want to read that, especially considering Del Toro is doing the movie. Really going to be interesting, I think, especially with Del Toro doing the storytelling, because he has that grasp on the absurd that you see in like the Hellboy. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why he was able to.
He's so designy. He makes a monster, but then he adds so many little details to it.
Right.
Like, one thing that I noticed about his movies is, like, there are spirals, and he uses a lot of pagan symbolism.
Well,
as far as the spirals, labyrinth.
That was... there's a movie you need some happy at the end for.
Shit, man. I almost got up and laughed. I was like, I can't be any more fucking depressed right now. And we actually went to the movie thinking... Oh, that looks cute, right?
I think a lot of people did that. Yeah. I think a lot of people did that.
I was like, oh, holy shit, that was terrible. And I haven't been able to bring myself to watch it again.
Yeah,
even knowing what to expect.
It is such a good... But he can... I mean, if you look at the comic for Hellboy, you needed someone like Del Toro to be able to interpret the comic in the way it needed to be to bring the essence of Hellboy across.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to be interesting, because H.P. Lovecraft is probably even more than King. His stuff has never been able to translate well.
Well, he uses a lot of really deep, intense imagery, and he uses a lot of elemental.
But
references.
He's also very vague about the end horror.
Mm-hmm.
They're basically when you finally get to whatever drove this person mad,
mm-hmm.
It is basically the idea is that it is so beyond human comprehension that it does drive a person mad.
Yeah.
And unfortunately that doesn't work in a visual medium. Yeah.
But if anyone was going to do it, if anyone was going to go there,
that's why I'm thinking
so,
is Del Toro being the way he is. He's probably going to be the one person that I know that you can think of.
Mm-hmm.
Although, from what I've heard and I haven't seen, that the H.P. Lovecraft Society has done a very good job.
Yeah,
because they did a silent movie version of Call of Cthulhu.
Cthulhu, and there are like two others.
I knew they were working on another one, but I don't know if they had finished.
And one of these days I'm going to see those. I don't think they're on Netflix. I think we actually looked them up.
Really? Because I thought that was going to be one that was going to be kind of hard to find unless you.
I thought it was. Yeah.
Because there was one that's
there
kinda,
is.
Yeah.
There are some. I think there's a Call of Cthulhu that Tori Spelling is in.
Awesome.
That's actually a combination, I want to say, of Call of Cthulhu and the Dunwich Horror and another story. It's like they basically... something over Isthmus.
Okay.
I think it's Shadow. Shadow over Ithmas and Call of Cthulhu, I think, mixed into okay. one big story.
Okay. See, these are stories I haven't read. I've read Call of Cthulhu.
Right.
I've reread it recently.
And then there's the Reanimator that they did, mm-hmm. that they the from which people do have hold in very high regard as a movie, but as something that follows kind of the H.P. Lovecraft thing.
Okay.
It doesn't work.
Okay.
I think there's a couple of other ones like The Unholy and The Unseen, and there's a couple of these like low rent.
See, that's what we should do. We should like actually one week, like do a Lovecraft episode where we watch all the movies.
Right.
Well, I mean, we're kind of delving Lovecraft right now, but where we watch all the movies and like go over the movies and read the stories at the same time to kind of see, you know, and like really examine in depth.
Well, I've heard, because that was last year's big, mm-hmm. it seems Widget does one big story mm-hmm. now. Last year it was, he read the entirety of Herbert West Reanimator. Yeah. This year was also, he did Sleepy Hollow, which was
really good. That's right. Yeah, I need to go back and I haven't heard a single one.
I haven't finished them up. I still have them on the iPod, just not finished it, because I don't want it to be done, because, you know, the way he reads.
And it's awesome, but I have a hard time listening to like...
Yeah, because of what you do. Yeah, because you have to concentrate.
No. You're just talking about... No, in general. Like, audiobooks, I fall asleep. I just don't absorb things like through audio. I tune them out and then fall asleep.
It depends, because mm-hmm. I actually did Thomas Wolfe's A Man in... Man in Full,
mm-hmm.
which was his latest one,
mm-hmm.
where it was read by the dude who played Charles Emerson Winchester from MASH, which was really interesting. And then I got the, because I rented it from the library, and then I rented Starship Troopers.
Okay.
And whoever they had reading Starship Troopers was horrid.
See, and that's the thing, like, I want to like it because I could really read, quote unquote, so many more books and stories and things that way because it goes faster. But I end up inevitably tuning it out. I don't care who the reader is, you know.
Depends on the one. Because, like, I've never read Hitchhiker's Guide,
mm-hmm.
but I heard the Stephen Fry audiobook.
Uh-huh.
And holy shit, that was good.
Stephen Fry doing... Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Yeah, in the UK it was Stephen Fry.
I actually downloaded it, and I don't know who the reader was, but I downloaded Call of Cthulhu. And my eyes were crossing. Like, I couldn't deal... And it was an amazing reader.
I fucking love it.
No, I mean, he was British, and actually what I liked about it was he pronounced Cthulhu, like we try to throw a vowel in there.
Right.
He pronounced it Cthulhu.
Right.
And I was like, that's fucking hard to do. And I totally respect that you could do that.
I was just thinking, Bill Nighy reads Lovecraft.
Mm-hmm.
That would be good.
Yeah.
Huh.
That would be...
Because of him has made me want to see Harry Potter even more, because he's in it.
Mm.
He's the guy that brings the... that reads the will of Dumbledore to the kids. Yeah.
Okay.
I just
said the perfect like dry but fantastical kind of
right. And just there's been very few things I've seen him in that I haven't liked. I mean, he took a role like Underworld that could be pure schleck and turned it in, and his performance as Davy Jones. I just realized
who he is. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and
what he did with Davy Jones in the Pirates movies.
Yeah, speaking of, Mal recently watched Love Actually.
Yeah.
I have got to get Phantom to watch that. Yeah, and because he's in it.
Yeah, but it's... there's a story behind that, and I'll...
Okay.
Off mic. You just pointed at your wrist, so I guess it's time to wrap
it up. Yeah, it is. We're at an hour and eight.
Okay.
So we should probably wrap it up.
Okay.
So... Is there anything else?
There was the rope I found.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my final thing is I was shopping, just doing some window shopping. I was originally looking for cock jewelry, basically. Because something to put in, basically something to put underneath my kilt.
Yeah.
For when someone finally kilt checks me.
Hey, which, I did it, but you were all like, that's not fucking good enough. Yeah.
Hey,
there's sparklies under there.
Yeah. But yeah, I also went and hit on FetLife, which was weird. You couldn't find it, but they had a link to where you could actually get links to all of their side scroll
stuff. Yeah, for whatever reason, it didn't come up for me.
And I came across the Violet Wand store.
It's just www.violetwandstore.com. Yeah.
And came across, because I'm always looking for something new when it comes to Violet Wand. And I think, and this was what was showing, is they actually have Violet Wand rope.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where it is a cotton rope that has got a cotton rope with its copper filament. Just so you know, it is copper filaments running through it. So you basically can charge using the Violet Wand, can hit the rope, and I guess wherever the rope is touching is then now electrified.
Yeah, yay.
Although we came up with the very evil idea of making a guy in a metal chastity outfit
hold the electrode.
Yeah.
I know. That's awesome. I tell you, those the metal chastity devices are fucking expensive.
Oh, yeah. Well,
you don't touch one of those for under $400.
Well.
Whereas the plastic, the CB line, you can get those for like $100 to $200.
Right. And what's nice about it is it's fairly cheap. You can actually get 5 feet of rope for basically $12 plus shipping and handling.
Yeah.
And they have 5, 15, and 30.
Yeah. And I'm actually only seeing the 15 and the 30.
That's because you have to go to where the actual rope is.
Oh, to see just the 5. Yeah, I'm on the Spark Your Imagination.
Yeah. That's kind of like the other thing is the metal lollipops that were in there.
Yeah, the little pops. I just saw these. Yeah. That's kind of awesome. Insertable.
Yeah, nice. And there's another site, I have to find it later, that actually are making some Pyrex insertable Violet Wand attachments.
Okay.
That actually have a break.
And they've got the Mylar floggers as well.
Yeah. Honestly, you could also... mine came with one in the kit, but you could probably make your own cheaper just by going Party City and buying some Mylar.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they do have the Violet Wand kits here, and they seem to be pretty inexpensive.
Yeah.
So this would be a good place to go if you were in the market for one as well.
And again, to anyone that's actually in the market for a wand, make sure you find out what their core is, because the last thing you need is to get an old one that has the old wax core and you go too long and just make sure the wand you have has a ceramic core so you can play longer.
And I would think anything new like this would have... It was just the cosmetic ones.
It's always best to check.
Yeah, double check.
Because
for sure.
I'm sure there are people out there that will be more than happy to take your money and rip you the fuck off because this is not an inexpensive piece of equipment.
Yeah. Well, and I had one thing that I wanted to pimp too. Our friend DS is going to start putting some of his handiwork, some of his paddles, and I think some of his leather pouches on Etsy.
Very cool.
Yeah, and when he does, we are going to give you the hell out of that address, because he's very talented.
That will probably be how we end most of our shows.
Yeah, exactly.
Just because...
Yeah, he's awesome.
And I can't wait to see what he's done for us.
I've seen them.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
How much longer does he have?
I don't know.
Okay.
But there's... I don't want to talk too much about it.
Okay.
About that other thing I told you about.
Because I do have a friend that, Alicia is very hyper about getting it used on her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's hyper about getting it used on him, too. Which is exciting for me. And potentially for Phantom. He's not so much into the boy, as I am. So.
I'd be happy to be. Whoever wants to be.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure he'd probably smack anybody he really wanted to smack him with a paddle.
I think I'm a little bit more.
I don't even think they have to be subs. I don't think he has to be a sub. He just wants to smack people with a paddle.
Kind of like I'm seeing like the Monty Python dance with the gloves, where you dance forward and then smack, smack, and then back.
No, those were fish.
Yeah,
it was fish dance. Yes, it was.
Oh, okay, fish. Okay.
Yeah, because he ends the dance by smacking him with a big ass cod or whatever.
That's
it is.
Right. Where he has the huge thing that he swings over his hand. Okay, that's right. Okay, 1:13.
Okay.
You guys be good.
Or be good at it.
Bye.
Bye.
Yay.